And it's so hard to feel like, what a waste of time. Why am I going through all this? Sometimes as believers, we fail to understand what are the benefits of salvation. What do we gain out of this? I remember, I think it's Peter who asked, but God, we have given in everything. What are we going to receive out? What are we gaining out of this? It's a good question. It's a good question for you to ask yourself. And ask God, maybe. What do I gain? And the answers are here. Now, this is real life. The life we live in is real life. But eternity is also real life. It's not just a story. Some extent that gets eats our mind so much, and we think these are stories that are just being told, and I'm not even sure these things will ever exist. Let me tell you, Christ is coming back. Just as the prophecies in the Bible are being fulfilled, the same way Christ is coming back. That's how serious it is. Whether he finds you dead or you're still living, he's coming. Amen. So it's better, we're on a better side for us to begin preparing and organizing ourselves for his coming than to waste time in the things that are going to perish. Amen. Now, you'll see in Acts chapter 14, verses 22, Paul told the believers that we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. And I also want to tell us today that as believers, we must develop the ability to face difficulties without giving up our faith. Don't compromise because you've found a hiccup, a hard situation, challenge. Don't compromise. Don't give up. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But let it build your character. You know, when Pastor Zed was teaching about spiritual warfare, something I saw, the devil is, he's not the main key person when it comes to us when we have fallen into sin and we have lost it. We ourselves are more accountable and we face the consequences. And I ask myself, okay, which means whatever happens around of me, God trusts me so much to take control of the situation. And it's me who can allow the devil to come and mess me up. But whatever situation comes your way, let it build your character. Let it help you grow. Because when character is built, it's another defense mechanism. If you had a habit and you struggled with it, and a time came and you felt, you know what, I have to deal with this. And the first time you resisted it and you overcame it, it becomes easier to deal with the next time. But if you've never crossed that line, it's so hard. It's so hard. So let's let our character be built to the point that we face this challenge, deal with it, and cross over. You feel more strong, more energetic to overcome that situation, that habit. And that's what is happening. Suffering is, it looks bad. It causes pain. But suffering is also good. Suffering is also good. Why? Because out of positive suffering, endurance is built, which leads to tested character. And this character produces hope. Verse 4. So if we are going to get there, then suffering has to come. So it tests our character. Now if I'm not saying you're a thief, this is an example. If a thief has been stealing, today he steals maybe 10,000, another day 20, he's confident with 20, now he begins 50, ends up into the bank, and now he's a professional guy, he even breaks the bank and runs out. Stealing will still come as he gives, if They are committing their lives to Christ and they just feel like enough of this. I just want to come out of it. And now they are struggling because the habit has been going in their lives. And they have been surviving on that. But now the conviction from the Holy Spirit is saying, man, this is not right. The moment they try to stop, they feel like they're dying without having that. But when they persevere, when they insist, and they don't do it for maybe a month, maybe they've been sinning every week for a month, then they feel, if I made a month, I can make a year. And by the grace of God, they come out of that. It's the same thing with homosexuality. I've heard there are people who have overcome homosexuality. It's the same thing with any habit. You just make up your mind and say, you know what? I'll deal with this. Whether smoking or whatever it may be. But it's us to say enough is enough. And that's how our character is tested. If you're saying enough, then let's see. Again, another opportunity presents itself. You're so weak with these skirts. And another skirt comes in front of you. Until you really make up your mind. You either give yourself totally to the other side or cross off and say, you know what? I'm done. Out of that, we get hope. Amen. Verse 5 says, and hope, and the hope we get does not disappoint us, because God has poured out of his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. The hope we have is so key for us because God has given it to us. Now, as believers, we must continuously put our hope in God. As we attain the hope, it must always be in God, not in anything else. Who will fulfill his promises regarding our future? You've read the Bible, and there are so many promises in the Bible for us as believers. But then, to reach them, there must be hope. The Bible says hope is an anchor for our souls. An anchor is, you know it, it's that chain that is used to hold a ship so that it doesn't waver by the waves to go astray. For us to not waver around, for us to not go by any wind, we must hold on to hope. It should be our anchor that holds us straight to the promises of God. So when the storms come, when the situations happen, we still say, we are still on the right track. But remember that hope is built out of tested character. And character is coming out of perseverance. And perseverance is challenged situations. Amen. Before you cast out the devils and say, you know what, this is the devil, find out, maybe the situation has been put there by God just to help you develop your character. Maybe the challenges you're going through right now are there to build you and make you a stronger Christian so that you can hold on to the hope that he has promised all of us. Our eyes must always be focused on things to come and hope for a better future when we will share in God's glory. Because that time is coming. A time is coming when we shall share with God the wonderful glory that he has for us as believers. This hope brings the unshakable joy. And the presence of the Holy Spirit makes us aware of the love of God. Paul speaks of the Holy Spirit down there. He makes us aware of how God loves us. Okay? Which love gives us the unshakable assurance of things to come. Now, as Christians, we have to rejoice. We have to be glad. We have to enjoy life. And I know sometimes not everything is so well. Because we live in a world that is has its own way of understanding things. And as Christians, to some extent, we feel so vulnerable. But we still can enjoy. Okay? Therefore, believers must never give up in the face of suffering. And this consolation must bring hope to us who are suffering with the pains of injustice, wars, hunger, HIV, AIDS, and many other evil things that are happening around us. As Paul says this, Paul has tested suffering. I'll tell you that. And he's writing out of his experience, out of what he has seen. And he's encouraging us right now and saying, you know what? What we hold on to is bigger than what we are going through right now. It's much bigger. So, whether you're sick of AIDS, you know, I met a girl, a very young girl, and she received the virus from the mother, like giving birth. She looked so innocent. She's really innocent. But she's struggling with that in her life. And she has given her life to Christ. I prayed with her, but, you know, I went out and I was wondering, why now? You know? But no matter, even if she's struggling with that, that's not the end of life. And God still is in control. He cares for her. He loves her. And he knew about it. It didn't take him by surprise. So, whatever you're going through right now, he knows. Look at it and know that, you know what? There's life. Life is coming and I should enjoy it because right now I'm investing. And I'm sowing for a wonderful future, which is eternity. And the time is coming when you enjoy the presence of the Lord, when we shall worship him, exalt him, and say how great you are, Lord. Your love is so amazing. Okay, verse 6 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. I will take it with 7. Very rare will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. Now, probably there's something he speaks about here. And he's trying to show us how God has really loved and cared for us. And how he's so determined and so eager to see that he helps us. He reminds us and says, by the death of Jesus Christ, God truly demonstrated his love for us, protecting us from God's wrath. His body was broken for us and his blood shed on our behalf. You find that in 1 Corinthians, where we partake of the Holy Communion. We always read these scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 to 26. Which is hard. It's so hard for human love to inspire someone to die on behalf of another. They may deceive you and say, I love you so much, why you be buried, I'll also be buried. Those are lies. It's hard. When you die, they will remain there and they will say, again, they will not be buried with you. They won't. So, what Christ did is not easy for any man to do. No one can do it. But he says down there, he goes on and says, you know what? And if at all this happens, it can only be for those who are good, those who are righteous, which is also very rare. I've not seen one. I'm 34 years now. I've never seen a man die for another. But there are also good men I have seen. Just small cases, you find, it's not me. He's the one. Small, minor issues. Everyone will defend their ground. I was amazed. There's a family I met and the wife is saying, it's the husband. The husband is saying it's the wife. And they couldn't come together and say, you know what? Okay, I take the responsibility as a man. I'll die for my family. It's hard. It's really hard. So he's saying, you know, At that time, Christ demonstrated his love for us by giving his life. If he did that, you know, if you want to know how important maybe a covenant is, you wait for the actions that are going to take place. If somebody puts themselves in a position that is so vulnerable to their lives, then you're sure there is a deal. It's so easy with business. Before somebody, it's not enough for somebody to just call you and say, you know what, I want you to give me a deal, I need this and this, and you know, those are stories. You tell them, I need a deposit, right? I need a deposit of this much for me to know that you're committing yourself to this. And when they send that deposit on mobile money or anything, you're like, okay, now I have a deal with you. We are going to work. Yeah, I've been robbed so many times with my businesses. So I also tell you, I want a deposit. How sure? I might carry my things and bring them on your site, and then you tell me, you know what, I was joking. But I've spent transport, you know, I've done. Christ gives himself as a deposit. God sends his own only son as a deposit. Before we even agree to the deal, because we were in sin at that time, no one of us, not any of our grand had given themselves to Christ. And no one wanted to know anyway. But at that time, when we were dead, he saw life in us and he committed himself and said, you know what? So he gave himself as a deposit for us to see that there is a deal. And it amazes me that even up to now, people have seen that there is a deal, but still they can't commit themselves. But for we who have committed ourselves, if he gave that much, then our hope should be there's much more to this. Because a deposit is just a little to attract you into the deal. Right? But when you finish the work and you do it perfectly well, the guy can come and say, you know what? Wow. Good job. In fact, I have a tip for you. And I have another deal for you. And the relationship is built. So our hopes are even much. We are so expectant. If the only smallest tip he could do is give his son without us giving in anything, and he freely gave, then, which means there is much more to this. And that should encourage us. That should keep us on track. That should keep us going and trusting him. No matter the challenges, no matter the situations we go through. Verse 8 says, But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When Jesus died, it was not for the good people, no, but for the people who were completely unworthy of his sacrifice. We had no merit in ourselves, and we are powerless to save ourselves. At the highest point of our hopelessness, that's where we were. At that very right time, God demonstrated his love by sending his only son to die for us and to reconcile us to himself. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. What can break that? What can take away that? What else is more important? And it's not by works. It was a gift. A gift. You know, it's funny when somebody comes at your door and they look for you everywhere and you're not even interested, for you're busy with your own things, but they insist and they come. And you're like, okay, now what? What? And then they bring you the real issue you've been looking for, that very stuff you've been searching around everywhere and you've not been finding it, and you're struggling, you're even giving up. In fact, you're so tired that when they come, you're like, what? You're wasting my time. And then they tell you, you know what? I had this for you. And you realize the very thing you've been searching for, looking for around, all the time that kept you so busy, this person has been looking around to give it to you. While you are there looking around to find it. That's what Christ does for us. When we had lost hope, when we were dead, at that very time when things had stopped, everything had stopped, our reasoning, our everything, at that very right time, he died for us to reconcile us to our Creator. Now, our Creator is so important because he's the one who created us. Ken was saying something that you can't give birth to a baby. It's weird for you to abandon that baby and say, you know what, I don't want to take care of them. God can't bring us into this world, can't choose our parents and make that seed that we come out of, and we leave this world and he just abandons us and say, that's not the God we serve. The God we serve is so attentive to every small detail of your life. He's so concerned to everything, to the even the smallest hair on your head. So concerned. The way you eat, the way you chew, he's very concerned, because even that energy, he's the one who gives it to you. Whatever you do, every step you make, he's so concerned because he's the one who makes you make that step. In fact, even take that direction. That's how our God is concerned about all of us. And we must know that. We must know that. Let me read verse 9 to 11 and we finish, because our time is up. 9 says, since we have not been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Now, not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Now, that's the greatest part. The main thing is for us to go back to our Creator, because he knows everything that we need. He knows everything that we deserve. He knows each and everything that is happening more than we know ourselves. He knows what is happening with us day-to-day life. He knows everything. And if that connection is put back for us to go back to our Creator and reconcile with him, then we have everything, because now the mission can proceed. Now that the real mission that he had for us to come in this world, the first place, can now succeed. Why? Because he's the one who knows what we need. He's the one who knows what we are supposed to do anyway. Amen. Now, the death of Jesus Christ has saved us from the future wrath of God. And that's very important, because you don't want to be among those who are going to be judged, okay, by God. If God showed us such amazing love while we were his enemies, talked about that, while we are still at that point without us agreeing with him, imagine what he will do for us now that we have been secured in him. This is the only firm basis for us to, as believers, to continue to find joy in the Lord and in the midst of our suffering. And no matter what happens, believers, we are internally secure in the hand of God. And resurrection and the internal enjoyment of the presence of God are the end results for us as believers. I just want to encourage you, as we finish, that you continue to stick in there. God has not forgotten about us. He has not given up on us. He has paid much more by sending his only begotten son for us. That's how he loves us. That's how he cares about us. And he's not ready to make such a terrible loss of letting you go after paying that much. He's not ready. And he's not going to do it. In fact, If you don't receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, it hurts him so much because he has paid everything. And he will do anything possible to see that he gets you. Because when you pay for something, when you pay for something before you have it, you're going to work yourself out to get it. You're going to make sure this comes because you have the right to earn it. You have the right to earn it. Here, with salvation, we have a free will. We have a choice to make a decision and give ourselves to Christ. But he has paid the price. And the sufferings that we are going through are just a matter of time. In fact, it's time for us to sow what we are going to reap in eternity. Let him develop our character. Let him train us how to persevere. Let him mold our hope that we may grow stronger and stronger and even reach out to others and share what God is doing with us. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the challenges we go through. We thank you for the situations that are happening to each one of us here, Lord. We are so grateful because we know you. We have a relationship with you. And Lord, even as Paul shares in your word, Lord, we're encouraged to hold in there. Let your will prevail in our lives, Lord. We surrender ourselves totally to you. That you mold us, you shape us, build our character. Direct our hope, Lord, that we shall not hold to things that are perishing, but we shall hold to the things that are for real. And today I pray, Lord, I pray for anyone who is going through a hard time and they felt like quitting, they felt like giving up, they feel like enough is enough and they just want to put it down, Lord. I pray that, Lord, you encourage them right now, that you revive their strength, even as they step out of this place, to go back rejoicing and glad that you are in control. I want to thank you, Lord, for the promises that you have for us as Christians. Lord, we hold on to those promises as we walk through this world, as we face the tribulations and everything that comes our way, Lord. Pray that you strengthen us, O King of Glory.